Hi, this is Rick Durfee with Durfee Law Group, here today to answer some frequently asked questions about some very basic fundamental estate planning documents. And today we're going to be talking about two documents together, maybe three, a medical power of attorney, or sometimes called a healthcare power of attorney, and a living will. And I kind of also want to mention a mental health care power of attorney. And these go along with a broad group of documents generally called medical directives. Well, what the heck are all these documents? How do they work together and what do they mean? In general, these medical emergency documents are documents in which you as the client or as the principal or as the agent, there's various words used for that depending on what state you're in, but you designate people who will make medical decisions on your behalf if for any reason you can't. So if by virtue of accident or age or illness, you are unable to express your wishes as to what you want for medical care, you can set out in advance what your wishes are and who would make the judgment call if there's some discretionary act or judgment call to be made in terms of what medical care you do or do not receive. Now, in general, if you are competent and able, you can say, yeah, I want that. No, I don't want that. So you can accept or decline medical treatment for the most part. There are circumstances where even if you say you want something, it will be declined. For example, in most places, with a few exceptions, if you say, I want to die, I want to commit suicide, please help me, most of the time, most medical care providers are prohibited from doing that, again, with some notable exceptions in certain places in the world. So if you say, I do or do not want a medical procedure, you get to choose what happens to you. Well, what if you can't communicate? What if, again, because of accident or illness, you're unable to say, yeah, yes or no, I do or do not want that? It's important to have people who know you, that you trust, who know what your wishes and concerns are, who can make that judgment call for you. Sometimes you can say in advance, for example, yes, I do or do not want to be kept alive if I'm in a permanent vegetative state. But often there are so many variations on what may happen that it's simply impossible to spell out every possible alternative that may arise and choose in advance what that might be. And candidly, even if you had such a list, it would be incredibly long, you might not know. You might not know what the judgment call would be or what the options or what the alternatives might be or what the consequences might be. So you want a person, a living human being, not a robot, not a computer, but somebody, again, who knows you and loves you and cares for you and who knows your wishes, who's going to say, yeah, what are the options here, A, B, and C? And what are the outcomes? What are the pros and cons? What would you do if it was your mother? Who could ask those kind of questions and then make that judgment call? For the most part, the medical power of attorney or healthcare power of attorney is for situations where, even though you are unable to communicate, that may be temporary. And in any event, you're probably going to survive. The living will now, which is also a matter that deals with medical decisions, is typically for end-of-life care. It's where it's game over, buddy. You're not going to come out of this one alive. But there are significant questions. Do we buy you some extra time with heroic measures or not? Do we use comfort care to relieve pain or suffering? Do we administer medications or not? Do we use feeding or not? And again, you can designate in advance some of those things, but it's impossible to predict all of the variations that can come up. So you want a person, sometimes called a surrogate, depending on, the state, but a person designated who knows your wishes. So when you designate these people, by the way, it's important that you tell them, this is what I want. Keep me alive no matter what it takes, if that's what you want. Let me die if I'm not going to recover, if that's what you want. And often these decisions are very personal. Often they have significant religious or spiritual or ethical considerations that are very individual to you. So you need to make sure that the people you have designated understand your wishes. It's also important that this document be updated regularly to make sure that the people you have named are alive and available, and who, again, who understand your wishes. sometimes spouses will name each other and then one goes before the other one. And then, well, this child has moved, lives across the country or is just not available or would kill me. I've had parents say, yeah, not this child of mine because that one would kill me sooner than I want to go. And not this other one because they would never let me die. So you it's a very personal matter to designate who those decision makers would be. But it's crucial. If you don't designate who you want in advance, a judge or a medical institution is going to do that for you. And just saying, you are better suited and better able to pick who you want to make those decisions than some third party who doesn't know you. So those medical emergency documents, the medical or healthcare power of attorney, the living will, the mental health care power of attorney, let me just mention that briefly. That's typically dealing with mental health care issues, and that can be memory care. It's not always, oh, I have a mental illness. It's often as simple as memory loss and issues like that, where a person might even be periodically just fine, but then other times can't remember who they are or where they are or what's going on. So that mental health care power of attorney is a related document that can sometimes be very powerful and effective. If you have these documents and they're old, they should be updated and reviewed. If you're wondering, do I really need these documents? If you're over the age of 18, you probably need them. Who should I name? That's something that needs careful thought. All of these documents warrant a discussion with qualified legal counsel who can help you navigate the issues and can help craft a document that's specific for you. Let me add that with rare exceptions, I almost never recommend that you sign the document that a medical institution will give you for free. And the reason you don't sign that document is that document was written by the attorneys of that medical institution for the purpose of protecting the medical institution, not for protecting you. So sometimes it comes, those documents amount to saying, if something bad happens to you, it's because you wanted us to do it. And that's a little over the top and maybe an overstatement, but maybe not. It's better for you to have documents that are crafted by your attorney thinking about what's best for you, and thinking through and talking through those issues with you and making them specific for you. So the medical healthcare powers of attorney, living will, and medical directives are a significant part of the basic medical and legal emergency documents that everyone over the age of 18 should have. So again, call, write, email, come see us, check out other articles on our website to learn more about the medical emergency documents.